how this all went down. We started out showing up over here at our recording studio, which again, palace made of spruce. The sound you just heard is the exhale of an orange juice drinker.
Goddamn fucking A right, buddy. It's my American right.
It's
to
your,
drink the juice of the round.
It's your American orange juice, because I assume that that's bottles from Florida.
Wait, is orange juice from America?
Yeah.
What?
No, no,
most of
Siri.
It. Not always.
Wait.
Is orange juice from American?
American?
From American?
Yeah.
Airlines?
Well, it's still...
what did it say?
This is the podcast.
How Brazil stole production of orange juice.
Okay,
from
there you have it. So basically, we're drinking the delicious Brazilian orange juice beverage here today.
They don't have winter.
Made it sexier.
We had a
weird
situation.
They don't have freeze. They don't freeze times. Yeah,
freeze over there.
Yeah, freeze time.
Good old my orange juice.
Oh, Frieza.
Yeah, yeah, there's no Frieza.
Dragon Ball Z is just about finding really good oranges to
juice up. Yeah, yeah.
So Kakarot can live and fight Sonic and do a Fortnite dance on his grave.
I think the Kai part
just happened. Carrot and orange juice is really good together.
Yeah, it is.
Dude, I love mixing juices.
Yeah, my dad had one of those juicers, like $3,000 ones back in the day that you can buy for like $30 right now.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The ones you like, you stuff it
in. Yeah, exactly.
Those ones are dirty.
But carrot is really a good one.
I've been really digging pineapple mango recently.
Mm-hmm. Is it Tropicana?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think I just had some of that for dinner, actually.
You had Tropicana for dinner? I want to be an adult. that's what I said. Like, when I was a kid, I was like, I can't wait to eat Eggos and drink juice every meal of the day.
Yeah, but I had like
welcome to my weight loss seminar.
I had 3 chicken nuggets and a glass of whiskey.
Juice
so
is
I
good,
feel like that's
not
pretty
soda, but juice. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I had a cup of that juice and a peanut butter and cheddar sandwich.
Ooh, peanut butter and cheddar.
Mm-hmm. Wait, no, go back to the story.
I used to have cheese and jelly.
What story?
You got here
then
and
my
then
brother used
orange
to
juice?
Harass the shit out of me about it, though.
Yeah, no, it's good stuff, man.
Wait, about what?
Cheese and jelly.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Grape jelly.
Well, you ever had jelly on a chicken sandwich?
I think. Mm-hmm.
Like a fried chicken sandwich?
Done it with peanut butter, too.
Yeah, I mean, that's
I've
a thing.
I've had a burger
Yeah.
Yeah, dude, because like the first time I moved here, I went through the McDonald's drive-thru and they're like, do you want jelly?
What?
I was like, I didn't get anything that requires, you got a chicken biscuit.
You're like, yeah, man. So
is that a thing? She's like, yeah.
I think you just got the one person.
No, dude, I confirmed it, man.
They were halfway to calling the psych ward for that person.
Hey, man.
This damn person
always keeps asking people if they want jelly. How many salt packets you want with your Diet Coke?
We caught him.
Fucking bamboozled. Anyways, the orange juice, Brandon. Why are we talking about it? What happened when we got here?
Oh, it was just a really simple store. We just show up and Joel's like, hey, you guys want some orange juice? And at that moment, Tino and I both realized.
I can confirm that.
Yeah. We both realized, yeah.
But
sounded real good.
It was like.
Ice cold.
It's one of those drinks where it's the only thing in your fridge because you haven't gone grocery shopping.
Yes,
that
usually happens.
Do you want his orange juice? And no one ever says yes. But you guys were like, yes! Fucking orange juice, bud! It was like the greatest thing that I've ever said in my life.
Dude,
like,
we drank that orange juice.
Dude, I have a stein.
I'm satisfied.
I'm sad. My mug
just don't
is empty. I
drink mine out of a mason
fucking
jar.
Shout out to Vaughn. Mm-hmm. Vaughn made this embossed.
That's cool.
Etcho sketch.
Well, it's like laser etch. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What's up, Vaughn?
It's got a Haro on it.
It's got a Haro and then the old True Gumpa logo on it.
Yeah, so basically we're hanging out drinking some orange juice, recording a podcast
check out
like normal people.
Oh, yeah. Check out the Twitter. As of this moment, I know you're all listening live right now.
They are listening live.
Well, if they're on Spotify, they can go to any app they want.
Yeah, that's accurate.
That's the beauty of it.
Mm-hmm.
Show me the goddamn picture.
I could have just pulled it up on my phone.
Yeah, you could have.
It's fine.
Well, you
right
know
here.
What? I mean,
are you hitting the intro? Hit the
you're
intro while
it the wrong
wait,
way.
Wait, hold on. I want to look at myself. Oh, it's inverted.
Yeah.
What?
That's fine. That's a great picture.
Yeah.
So, anyways, we got this new fancy board that we can just do this.
Oh yeah.
Did you just? That's good. Wait. No, it's
No.
No. So, shout out to Zoom. really good gear.
Mm-hmm.
This fucking board,
dude.
We're gonna keep talking about it because it's.
We talked about
Zoom.
It.
People don't realize the turnaround
Zoom, the
time.
The audio equipment's manufacturer, well, not the video conference.
Yeah,
well,
not,
no, the video conference thing is not that good. But we're not sponsored by.
Fuck that company.
It's not good. We're not sponsored by Zoom. But we talked about this on Premonition of Paint, and we are a huge fan of this Live Track board. It freaking it works,
dude. So usually the turnaround time for an episode for me to edit was a week.
Yep.
Now it's
it'll be
that
out there.
Night.
Now it's 45 minutes.
Plug
yeah.
it in.
It takes me to do the little funny art, mm-hmm. which I realize is a thing that other podcasts don't do.
No, I like that part. That's my favorite part of the podcast.
I was
shooting
it like mm-hmm. SoundCloud.
I like that.
Like we're dropping some hot fired fucking bangers that are mid along. We need some goofy doofy.
So they will be able
goofy.
To see this.
They'll make it real goofy.
These Twitter posts.
Twitter?
Almost live.
The Twitter face library. Zanga.
Go to our book.
It's only going to be a little while. They'll get it. You know, those tweets will be current.
Yeah. The tweets have already gone into the interclouds.
So they could look at it, you know.
The Weber
dude, Twitter is kind of wild for Gundam. It's actually kind of you know, in Zombieland where the theme park was
you're talking about one, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the first one.
Okay,
no
spoilers.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I haven't seen the second
where
one.
Where it's either. Everyone heard of this, safe haven where, nobody was infected.
Yeah.
Twitter is that with Gundam, but actually no one's infected.
Wait, is it because, everybody's so nice and unlike
it's
all
just,
of
it's moving so fast.
It's moving so fast, cool. Bullshit passes mm-hmm. in a day, and people are, putting their actual work, and they're having, good discussions, and, even the stuff that's, you know, so and so shouldn't do this, or bad community things. It blows over in a day, or people just have a conversation about it.
Mm-hmm.
No one's putting this general weird facade.
But that's amazing. That's the opposite of what Twitter does with everything else.
Yeah,
so
usually Twitter
well.
Turns it to a shithole.
Yeah, exactly. That's amazing. Well, we're pretty good about that.
Fuck, this is some good orange juice, boys.
Oh, dude, yeah. Okay, so we got you're going to do the art for this episode, and there's got to be some orange juice on it.
It's just going to be a cup of orange juice.
Yep.
With the Cutting Mat logo.
With TCM.
But wait, it's going to be someone trying to sell you some orange juice.
Well, it should be, because that's what some people are into. Some people are into making art for podcast episodes, and some people are into posting on Twitter. Some people are into selling orange juice.
Tino, do you have what it takes to be an orange juice salesman?
Probably not. I can drink all the orange juice, though.
See?
Well, okay, this episode is going to be about some stuff and some things, and we're going to talk about it. So who's going to get started?
That's the fucking Tina sign us in, dog.
Yeah, we already went through the intro music. I don't know why we're All right, anyway. Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening. This is the Cutting Mat Podcast.
He does so well.
I'm your intro boy, outro boy, Borderlands boy,
yes.
Tino, also known as Big V Roman, all over the internet, to my left. Is the
and
one
you,
and only.
You can't see. Dude, you had too much orange juice.
He's smiling the whole
Kamau
time.
Kamau _ Zeta and fucking up my intro is to the left of me.
I'm just going to talk over all of our intros, including my own. I'm Brandon. I do mecha genre. All
right, fuck that. Next.
Yep. Go ahead, Joel.
Oh, shit. Well, yep.
Okay,
I'm Joel.
That's good.
We'll do it at the end. If you've been here before, you know what's up.
We'll
no,
make
oh, man.
Into tros. That's what we'll do.
All right.
This is I would say almost not an emergency topic. Someone did actually suggest it to us literally 2 days ago or something like that.
On the Patreon?
I think so. No. It was a message.
Okay.
Yeah. Someone messaged
me DM.
About it. I forget. I'll find it out later.
It slid into resonated. Your DMs.
Yeah. But this is something we've talked about.
That's plural.
And kind of avoided, but having at the same because we know it's something that people want to hear about, but no one was saying, "Hey, you should talk about this." Is roles in the hobby universe, in the hobby genre, and that includes, unfortunately, with anything online, influencers, social media.
Say what?
Boo-hiss, that word, boo-hiss.
But see, so many people think. They think that, oh, fucking influencer, blah, blah, blah. And there's different levels to them because, you know, someone that has review videos, they are influencing your decision to buy something.
But there's a lot of review videos out there. Some people do them really well.
Yeah.
I have my favorite review video.
Then there's also, Firefest influencers that you're hardly involved, but
You mean
you want to push your word out?
Mm-hmm. Are you checking out Area 51, kind of.
Yeah, like weird shit like that. But aside from that, there are very fun and good roles and different roles you can get involved in with a hobby that almost kind of become part of the hobby, and then you have this weird meta hobby. What are those stackable dolls? The Russian.
Oh, the nesting dolls.
Nesting dolls. You have a nesting dolls of hobbies that go into hobby, but the big one is always scale modeling, and then the rest of it goes.
Or alternatively, maybe like the smallest one is scale modeling, and then it's inside all of the others.
Yeah. That's probably better.
Or the middle one, the very middle one is scale modeling, and then it's sort of like
surrounded by everything else. We're doing a podcast about scale modeling.
Well, the last one,
right. Yeah, this
the,
is a,
or the second, last one the second where you said smallest. Like the last one being scale modeling, that's when it's like somebody stumbles into this.
Whoops.
Yeah.
You know, it's like
I was like a huge fan.
Another thing that they see is hot right now.
Yeah, it's a new thing.
So, you know, they're just going to dive right head first into it.
Kind of like trend hobby. Like people, pops now. And then, suck. And look like this thing now. Star
just,
Trek.
Yeah, but Beyblades will never go out of style. That's
hell
always been
no,
popular.
Dog. They're going to let it rip to the sun.
Hot yoga.
Yep.
Hot yoga?
Hot yoga.
Hot yoga? What yoga is that?
No, isn't that a hobby that died pretty fast?
Oh, no, I think about goat yoga. They're,
Goat yoga. Yeah, you're right.
Goat yoga.
I was going to say,
too many people falling off cliffs.
I thought you were talking about...
There are hot yoga studios still.
Yeah.
Cold yoga, man. That's where it's at. You go into an industrial-sized freezer,
that's
the last
room
person...
Room temp yoga.
Last person to go into cardiac arrest wins yoga. That's how cold yoga works. You guys haven't done this?
I know you could win yoga.
Yeah.
Baby Yoda. Fortnite.
What? Yoga.
Dances.
Yoga.
Wi-Fi.
Yoga.
These are all technology terms that the youth have adapted and taken over.
Hold up.
Yoga Yoda, Greek
he
yogurt.
He says as he wears that hat.
What hat? Oh, my my Heaven's Gate away
but
team
the
patch?
Away team, yeah. So.
But see, this is a darker time in Star Trek lore, okay?
That is something different also. That's a
that's another hobby altogether.
Yeah.
Cults
are another hobby. But even within the hobby of cults, there's people who have different roles
there's
in the community.
There's leaders, there's organizers, there's applesauce
Trek,
mixers.
I caught an episode today of TNG.
Too soon.
You know they had like Worf dead for like a full like 10 minutes or some shit like that.
Was it one of the Alexander episodes?
It was, yeah.
He had to handle
the spinal injury.
Yeah.
Apparently they have like backup systems.
They got backup
hearts,
lungs.
He should have like severe
lungs.
Brain damage, man.
Well, maybe. Like he was unconscious for a long time.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, he actually, it was difficult because he and his son both had to come to terms with the fact that he's going to be paralyzed for the rest of his life. He asks his son to kill him because he can't be a warrior.
Out of pride, you know.
Yeah.
How muscly do you think
Michael
Klingon
Dorn?
Banes are? Brains art. I mean, also what? Michael Thorne.
What?
No, I met
Michael
him.
Dorn.
Michael Dorn could like beat.
He is a big man.
He's a cool
deep voice.
But they got like backups.
Yeah,
he's
they got
really
some,
nice.
So what they do is they have backup lungs.
He's
hearts,
not coming back, by the way.
Yeah, yeah. Basically, his whole deal is.
I haven't watched any of the new.
Me neither. But apparently, he's not coming back.
That makes me sad.
I mean, unless Patrick Stewart goes to whatever talk show he has and be like, "Hey, I want you to come back
on
that's Star
true.
Trek." Like,
that's
it's
true.
Not gonna happen.
You know.
He has to remember that probably none of these dudes have Wi-Fi.
No, they definitely don't have Wi-Fi. Speaking of not having Wi-Fi, skill modeling. Podcast. We're trying to. Hey.
So when the internet goes out, there's this great hobby called
skill
modeling.
Here's a concept. The concept is like within a community, you got people that have different roles. Within a society, you have people that have different roles. Within a nomadic civilization, people started figuring out that some people could do the farming, other people could do the
distribution
defense.
Labor. Yes.
Some people could do the bread baking, and then they could build a civilization on a spot. Such is also with the Gumpa community. You got some people who build the model kits and teach the other people, but then other people do the organizing and the Instagramming, and other people do the stuff where they bring the food
Brandon's
in. Somebody gets Taco Bell, and
second.
Then some people bring the orange juice.
Give them some oranges quickly.
Get us some oranges. So okay. As Brandon's breakdown
essentially getting
happens,
to roles and responsibilities.
Yeah, this episode is about roles within the hobby that include just not, you know, doing things in the hobby. And there's good sides and there's bad sides of it.
Are we recording a podcast today?
Ironically, not doing the hobby, but we're doing a thing
there you go.
For the hobby.
Boom.
That is a positive thing, and most people seem it's positive, but I'm sure
hobby.
There's people that don't enjoy this banter, they don't enjoy the podcast, they probably hate Tino's face,
and those people are wrong about all of those things.
Wrong.
They're demonstrably wrong. We can mathematically prove it.
It's always going to be in there.
Yep.
And so the question asked, the question asker asked, welcome to my brother, my brother, was, here's a Yahoo's answer from, is that like no one really has talked about the different roles and things like that in the hobby publicly in a way that's not like, if you want to make money, here's how you make money. If you, you know, here's how you make an event.
Get followers.
Yeah, here's how you get followers. Things that don't actually matter.
Yeah.
It's the unspoken kind of things like people that run online communities, run, you know, forum websites that have review channels, tutorials. They plan meetups. They plan contests, events, whatever it may be. 9 times out of 10 from experience, we just don't have time to talk about that kind of stuff. Well, and I can see that being, you don't want to make a meta hobby of a meta hobby of a meta hobby, because then at that point, it's just very convoluted.
Well, yeah, but two levels is probably okay. Like, sometimes people get into two levels. They have a blog about taking photos about model kits. Like,
hey,
that's
literally done that.
See, there you go. So that's like a two-level meta hobby. But this isn't the kind of thing that you need to sit down with your community and organize, because these roles and responsibilities will sort of just separate themselves out based on people's individual interests. Some people love taking photographs. Some people just love building models, like the core portion of the hobby. Some people are total community organizers, and other people like running contests. Like, you find your interest within the group, and you use that to expand your group and provide all of the kind of amenities, I guess, that your community needs. Like me, for example, I dislike social media. I'm also very bad at it. But I really like building model kits and showing other people what I build. So I use my Instagram, MechaGenre. You should follow the Instagram. See, this is my attempt at doing social media. It doesn't work that well. But I just post like work in progress shots, and it seems to, you know, people seem to like it.
I was
going to
say,
cool.
You say it hasn't worked that well, but you've done the goal of just putting what you do out there to maybe help inspire, to generate questions, interest in the thing you do, in hopes that more people will do it. And that's exactly fine.
Yeah. Well, I set out to like do Instagram badly, and it's working.
So ironically, when you do it badly, I've had that with both mine and the company's Instagram. It was like sometimes the one like the funny, like, oh, wouldn't it be funny if we did this or posted this, or like, oh, this looks cool, whatever, throw it up. Those usually are the best ones versus the one you spend hours trying to refuckulate and do and take the right angle and then
oftentimes,
no one likes it.
They get defuckulated a lot, so you got to like refuckulate them.
Oftentimes, you know, there's a lot of pseudoscience going out there as far as, you know, what people's interests are and what they like to see, you know, changing, you know, altering filters and angles and all that stuff. But a lot of the time, you just don't know what people really want to see.
You
can't
nail it
down. You don't
know
what people like. Mm-hmm.
Well, there's also, like, the question of what am I supposed to be doing?
Exactly.
What am I expected to do as a part of a community?
I feel that with scale modeling and Instagram, it's a dirty concoction.
I hate it.
Greasy fucking concoction.
Burn it down!
It's weird because it is, we've talked about the whole, like, endorphin rush of social media, reactionary feedback loops, shit like that. It is... That's always going to be there online, even with forums. It's people replying, oh, it looks fucking dope. That looks good. You're doing good work, blah, blah, blah. But it's the people that see, myself included, that you can do other stuff that's not just building. You can help promote a product. You can organize an event. You can start a meetup, start a contest, start a community. And then when you're in that, you start looking at the other things and then the other things.
Right.
But that causes a very bad chain reaction that it makes you feel guilty for not doing the original thing you started.
Well, that's the thing. Are you supposed, if you're part of a scale model community or a toy photography community or whatever, are you supposed to spend all your time doing the hobby? Or is it okay to like branch off and do all of these peripheral hobbies?
That's personal.
Yeah.
And I think it's personal. I think that's why not a lot of people like talking about it, because I know for sure the absolute millisecond that someone says, use my code
that you would use like the high pitched voice for that.
You know, anything like that. The moment they hear it, it's like a triggering reaction. We're just like, oh my God, this is bullshit, blah, blah, blah. Oh, I don't want to hear his pandering. But the next
it's
thing
commercialized,
is,
yeah.
And then the next thing you know, they're like, oh yeah, I use this paint with this paint. I use that paint with that paint. It's the same thing. It's just you just don't have a code to go along with the thing that you're
using.
This hobby is a consumer hobby.
So that's really interesting, because the code is motivated by wanting money, but the helping is motivated by wanting to help.
Most,
because you don't really get anything out of that.
Don't pay off for codes.
What?
Yes, that is a misconception. Ugh. There are companies that do.
I'm looking into a dark side of the internet that I did not expect.
And the thing is, the companies that don't give a payout for the code, it's something that they know it's just mutually beneficial.
Yeah.
Now, it takes 5 seconds to say, oh, by the way, if you want to get this, use this code. This is where I bought it from. Cool. You're good to do anything else. Like, if you want to promote something else that does have a code you get paid for, go for it. It's how the company handles it.
Interesting.
And there's some companies that do pay, and there's some companies that don't. I've noticed in the scale modeling side of things, it's like a local business.
It's also a little bit backwards, too, because there's a lot of analytics that can be involved with seeing which codes get pinged more and more.
Yeah, see,
but at that point,
what?
They've already given it to somebody that's already had some kind of following.
Yeah, and then, like, so there's different levels and different tiers into, like, who pays what does what, why you do it, why you promote it. But you got to think about, too, how many times do you tell people you go to Hangar 18 Hobbies in Cary, North Carolina, when they talk about where your local hobby store is?
Yeah.
Every
how many
chance
times?
I get.
Exactly. Yeah. Are you getting paid for that?
Nope.
Absolutely not.
Well, yeah, but...
Well, there was that.
So that's something that comes up naturally in conversation, though. That's not really something that you go out of your way to make into your hobby.
Just swap a few words in front of a video, and it's like you're having that same conversation.
Oh, that's,
except
that's
for people
weird.
Don't live in your area. They live in all around the world. Huh. So you're just talking about your, in a sense, local online
Hold
hobby
up.
Store.
I'm figuring this out. You're saying that the internet is kind of like a girlfriend that goes to a different school, but also know you can't meet her because she lives in Canada.
Exactly.
Nice.
That's why. That's exactly what
also,
it is.
You invented her.
Whoa. And you invented what? Her. Yeah.
Whoa. I never said that.
Yeah. But that is one of the things that kind of comes with, like, that whole code thing. It's all company. Every company is different.
Her name is Cher Chelsea.
Every company is different, and that also becomes a hobby of Shannon. Itself.
Buffy
the Vampire Slayer.
Yep.
No, I'm ignoring that phone call. I don't know who it is. They got no name. They leave a voicemail. I hate that, man. When people call that I don't know and they don't leave a voicemail, why would you call? What's
Agreed.
The point?
So, like, that's not your thing, answering the phone. But it is your thing, like, putting codes in videos.
I used to get paid for it.
Yeah, that sounds great.
That shit sucked ass.
I think that, like, when I think about, like, what people on this podcast's roles are, for example, Joel's a community organizer.
See?
That's, like, part of your
That's
hobby, right?
One role. I'm the extreme version of where community organizer, yep. Website thing, blog writer for USA Gundam Store, organizer for this, blah, blah, blah for that, poo-poo for that. I'm the worst case fucking scenario to the point where, like, when I build, it's like, fuck.
What is this hobby?
Like, what do I do this for? What site does this go to? What thing is this involving?
Yeah, but so, like, that's not the only thing you do.
Because
that's one thing
a lot of
do.
It's my job.
But that's also the thing that you do that's, like, high profile.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the thing that people know you for.
Exactly. No, that's
not the
thing.
Only thing you do. Yeah.
And, like, it's one of those things, too, where I hate the word influencer. Ugh. I hate saying that, but outside looking in, yeah, it probably fucking seemed that way, because, like, hey, this company has this thing, go fucking buy it. They're a dope local company, or, you know, they're online too. This company does that. The moment you say the company's name, exactly. Mm-hmm. The moment you say I use TurboDork on this, well, guess what? So and so's gonna go to TurboDork.com and look it up. That's just the way it is. And some people want to build a brand in this hobby, and that leads to doing other different things. Because, yes, you can sit there and post your own builds online, but I see so-and-so's doing that. I want to try that. So-and-so has this. I want to try that.
You know what really helps me build? Orange juice. The vitamin
Absolutely,
C.
Yes.
Some of it's vitamin D added as well, and it really helps grow strong bones and helps vitamin C helps you maybe fight off a cold. That's pseudoscience.
Wait, it is?
Yeah.
That's
vitamin true. C.
Vitamin
yeah.
C?
It won't help you get rid of a cold. If you're
makes your pee
it.
Really expensive.
Yep. So
it makes it expensive.
Yeah, you're peeing
most
of
how much can I sell
most supplements
for
do.
It?
Oh, your pee? Oh, yeah. It's a ton, but not because of the vitamins in it.
Oh,
it's a strange place. For, like, Bailey, for example, I think that, like, you are the guy that people go to ask technical questions.
The technical questions.
You're like guy. The guy. You're like the guy who, like, lives on top of the mountain, and then, like, people climb the mountain their entire life just to ask you one question, and all they can think of is, so I broke this shoulder joint and I need to fix it.
But back real quick, back out from that view.
What?
In reality, Bailey does the podcast.
Right.
He does events. He teaches workshops. He works at a fucking hobby store.
Yeah. But and that's the thing. Like this,
he fixes
thing.
All of our airbrushes because we don't know how. That's five roles right there.
Yeah.
That's fair.
And then with Tino, it's like,
Tino sign in, builds boy. Sign the, off, boy.
Well, but he also does like Gundam art.
Yeah.
He also does builds associated with Borderlands. He also plays Borderlands. He also talks about Borderlands. If I have questions
well,
about
that's
Borderlands,
another thing. It's a hobby inside the hobby. Yep. You build skill models and then you draw them.
I'm the opposite side. I use this hobby as like a break from my other hobby that I'm turning into a business.
Mm-hmm. Which is
and the job.
Which is
I'll go over from outside looking in. Sticker making, drawing, illustrations, yep. logo design,
Borderlands.
Graphic design, yeah. illustrator design.
Borderlands. Borderlands?
Borderlands. Borderlands? DLC.
Borderlands
2. Borderlands,
hey,
Borderlands 3.
Hey.
And Borderlands.
And, yeah, and Borderlands. So that's like what? Seven mm-hmm. different things?
Mm-hmm. Did you guys mention orange juice?
Yeah, and orange oh, juice. Yeah. That's
Dude,
eight.
Love me some orange juice.
There you go.
I'm Boom. Not even to name all the bullshit that I just in Holy Mountain alone.
Yup.
Photographer, product photographer, toy photographer, website design, graphic design, illustration, video production. The list fucking goes on.
Well, yeah, but like, and that's all related very heavily to like the toy modeling, Gunpla modeling hobby as well. So like,
exactly.
the stuff that you do for work is also tied into your regular hobbies. Basically, the point that I'm trying to make is like, look at all this stuff that we do. You can't pigeonhole yourself into one or two roles. Just do whatever you want.
Yeah, do what you want and don't stress about. The crazy thing is when people stress about doing the things that they want to do because they feel that they have to do these right. different things.
It's easy to get caught up in something like that.
One thing that's similar to that within like looking within scale modeling itself is people that, because we discuss this as being a scale modeling podcast. Yeah, we might focus on Gunpla for the most part, but we identify as scale modeling, you know, community scale modeling podcast. But people tend to just want to be within that one thing, you know, that
yeah.
Gunpla, robots, whatever, and don't step out. It's interesting when you see scale modelers. Yeah, they might like the tank guys.
Yeah, they
build
prefer,
a lot of tanks.
Prefer tanks.
Sometimes they yep. do a car. Sometimes they might do a robot, you know, a spaceship or something just to branch out.
Yeah.
And that's the idea of like you got to like explore other, you know, avenues to express your skills, you know.
You know how many people like me that made a name like True Gunpla wish I didn't make a name like True Gunpla?
Yeah.
Because it's like, I mean, the thing is like, yeah, I love Gundam model kits, but I
That's
love
not all there is
Star
to
Wars
it.
Model kits. I love
right?
miniatures, making shit, props, Sophie, like all this different shit. But because I wanted to make a brand to have a name behind what I did and what I did at the time was Gundam shit. It stuck with it until I make a studio name and did an LLC and like make that like a property of XYZ. And that's
yep.
where people get with the different things you can do in the hobby is that like they get really worried about being an event organizer. So they kind of push all that shit into making events.
But like, what if they don't enjoy making events? Like if you feel like you have to do something, you're going to get burned out in that hobby real quick.
Real quick. And well, when the thing is when you don't like making events, now building sucks.
Yep. Because all of a sudden you associate it with the hobby. Yeah. Oh, well, what do you do for that hobby? Oh, well, I build model kits, but like this is driving me nuts. I've been like trying to take pictures of things or I'm trying to schedule these events or I'm judging these contests. Like all separate parts of the hobby. If you don't like them, just don't do them. You don't have to.
You don't have to do them. Like it's a weird thing. Mm-hmm. It's like we're not trying to convince people to not do things or to go do things.
We're trying to convince people to just do
Think
whatever
about it.
You want.
Yeah.
You're like, free. You're free people. Do whatever you want.
People.
It's a hobby.
Yeah.
Relax.
Hobbies are
That's
supposed to be
for.
Fun.
And your role in the hobby, if you want to do something better, like greater, or if you want to stay where you are, it'll naturally happen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
People will find you. You'll exude that energy. And you'll just fall into it. Because that's pretty much what happened with all four of us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Bailey, anytime he was anywhere, just started talking shop with people, and he turned into the tech guy. Brandon, whenever he was anywhere, started telling people to smell stuff, and he turned into Brandon. You know?
That is actually pretty accurate, yeah.
And then you give an explanation of it. And sure as shit, when someone had a question about the chemical, or why does it say acrylic, but it's
how
flammable.
Things interact with each other.
Comes in
you
handy.
Had the brain,
yep.
And you were able to tell people why and why not.
Well, toluene, bad
made
for
every,
you.
Yeah, I made every thinner mistake in the book, though, also. Yeah, but well, toluene also, brake cleaner, so if you need to strip something, you can get you some,
you know. That's where that,
you.
Like,
yeah, bad
that,
for you, for
that
sure.
Knowledge that passes
orange juice,
through
good
generation
for you.
To generation
orange
comes
juice.
In.
Well, orange juice probably won't strip
OJ.
Any paint, but real good for you.
The glove won't fit.
Mm. OJ. I drank an entire white Ford Bronco full orange juice today. That joke almost got away from me.
Hell, but you didn't feel pressure to do that. You didn't feel like I have to go and smell these paints to tell people about them.
No, it's just how you figure out what things are.
Yeah.
You just figure it out.
But to go back to where when you try and do that and it sucks and then it makes the other thing sucks, that sucks ass.
Yeah.
I did that with this idea of, like, making an online resource to where you can find every single Gundam store in the United States, and if they had a meetup, if they had all this stuff.
That sounds cool.
But I felt like we had to do it because...
Space Gundam. Gundam Book?
Gundam
Space.
Gundam Book.
Gundam Space?
Zeon Space.
Gundwitter.
Zanga.
Zanga.
Zanga. Zanga. Zanga. But... it's something that we all kind of felt we
High
had
five,
to do.
Gunpla.
Yeah, we had the idea of doing it, and we're like, okay, this is gonna be good. We need to do it, and this we fucking did it. And for like that month, yeah, building Gundam kits sucked ass because like we tried to do this thing, we all realized we were forcing ourselves to do it, and then like it stunk the whole room up. The room smell of fucking stink.
Gross.
And then we had to let the window open and go do something else for like 5 minutes and come back and it was fine.
You like put a fan in the window sometimes, like especially if, you know, like the day before you had like Mexican food or like Indian food or what are we talking about?
Yeah, to end that analogy there to with it goes back to burnout.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And something where I realized that we didn't touch on it, and I'm sure a lot of people didn't touch on, is that
hold on, wait a minute, exploratory comma.
What?
Go back to episode whatever. We'll edit this and tell you exactly which
but
one.
But we won't. So you got to remember it, bud.
Well, that's
go back to episode one and re-listen to all of them.
Or we'll cut out all these fuck
they're
ups.
Very
don't
good.
Worry.
You should.
Yeah. Actually, we won't. But anyway, we did an episode on burnout. Anyway, go back.
dude, burnout. Burnout's
is that
real.
No one's really talked about this. And this is something that I've noticed as of probably the last year, is that the people that are vocal about being burnt out or having a burnout or like, how do I deal with burnout, are also people that just started to try and market themselves or put a brand to their name or put, you know, do something to where it's like they have a signature logo or whatever. It's like the moment they make that jump, there's a burnout post after.
Well, because
there's some type of burnout, or it can be internal, external. We've all felt it. I felt it. Tino shaking his head vigorously. No.
Tino has never been burned out in his entire life.
That is absolutely not true.
Tino burns in.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like like a ring of fire on the inside.
Tino, tell us.
No, I was looking for the episode and I couldn't recognize it. That's all.
We thought you were
Have you been ever burned out?
Absolutely. I get burned out on my art all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, as often as I'm able to build Gunpla, I get burned down on that too. Just like
yeah. I think I know why this happens, and this might not be correct, but bear with me for a second here. So first, not enough orange juice. Second, it's because whenever you have a logo, you feel like you are obligated to do something for that thing.
You're a brand.
Yeah. A giveaway.
When you're a brand, yeah, you have to do more than you think you would normally do. Like with your art before it was your business or before you had a brand, you would probably just draw things when you thought it was fun.
Yes.
And when
draw
the fun
things
stopped,
and then shut the book and leave it alone.
Yeah,
yeah.
That. When the fun stopped, you don't have to do it anymore.
Yeah.
It's when people start asking about, how do I take good photos? How do I get it's that internal thought. Yes, they're trying to document their progress and show off their progress, but there could be that weird tie to, like, I want to make a name for myself.
We're going to rewind and
we need that time machine for episode two.
Yeah,
yeah, that episode that we talked about before on episode six.
Oh,
episode six! There you go.
Oh, I remember that episode.
And people that are listening in the future.
And Seinfeld?
Yeah, people are in the future listening back.
Right.
That is episode six of season one.
Right, season one, which is back when like the animation was just a little bit off because we didn't have the budget yet. But then, like in season two, we kind of try to get edgy, and so
come out like Futurama.
Yeah, that's sort of what happened.
How Fox go? They all killed us.
At the end of season two, so if it's flashing forward, we're going to get canceled after this season, and then we're going to have to go onto a different network. It's going to be complicated.
Yeah, yeah, it happens a lot. Yeah, it's all industry
we'll figure
stuff,
it out,
I think.
All right,
back to it.
It's all industry. Yeah, and then like
shit, the tape got fucked up.
Basically, by then, like I'm saying, that was the time, like when I realized I'd eaten three packets of peanuts, and then they were looking at me, you know, like
you know
well,
what? I think it's time to go to the fucking.
Supply drop,
because we got to talk about some stuff and some great people.
Yeah.
And also, like, re-round and then re-round, so we have to re-fuckulate the tape and re-fuckulate the shit.
Hey, everybody, welcome to the Supply Drop!
Oh, wait, I have that. I just can't find it.
Oh, it's on
the board. It's on
the board,
yeah. I could have used
it. Oh, we got the air horns?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Cool.
We'll find it. Yeah, so the Supply Drop is the fun part of the podcast where we talk about sponsors and the people that support the podcast. Big shout-out to everyone on the Patreon. If you haven't checked out, we have a Patreon. We offer monthly physical rewards like stickers, pins, shirts, Tino Polaroids, Brandon's beard hair.
True. Sometimes after packing.
Bailey's paint. And I will give you, I don't know.
Well, last week it was toenails.
Toenails.
I feel like in the future we could probably do, I don't know. Yeah. How are your fingernails looking?
Yeah. Maybe.
Not yet.
They got some paint in them.
Yeah.
Anyways, this is where we talk about the wonderful brands and people and companies that support what we do here. And of course, as always, Scale Modelers Supply.
Mm-hmm. Who? Are you talking about Scale Modelers Supply?
SMS, Mike Jones.
From Australia?
Yeah, 281-330-8004. Hit up SMS on the low.
Oh, dude.
Whoa.
His, their post about shipping stuff to the U.S. the other day.
I got legitimately excited, yeah.
That was a huge shipment of stuff, man.
Yeah, I've been recently using them on painting some Godzilla soft vinyl. And
yes, that thing is hot.
Oh, man. So sweet.
I fixed my airbrush on my own, Bailey. What? Yeah, that's right, bud. I just bought a new needle. That's it.
Oh, well, okay.
Whatever.
So.
I'm sure something's gonna crap out in a week.
Whatever, you'll be back.
Yeah, the spacey,
the color shift.
The color shift that you used. Oh my god,
dude,
I used
another
so
layer
cool.
of
the indigo kind.
It's hard to formulate too.
Mm-hmm. It is, and I used another layer of alien color shift that from that line. It's like a white pearl green blue. But when you put it over black, it's like pure oil slick. Mm-hmm. And over red, it's like a silver green. Oh, that's fucking dope,
dude.
I
like the black tone you added to it too, just recently.
But SMS Paints, wonderful scale modeling company from Australia, and you can buy them from our next sponsor, USA Gundam Store, and the amazing paints. Literally, just dump it into an airbrush and spray. I don't have to
pre-mix.
Isn't
that,
do anything.
That's so nice. Oh,
and it's lacquer. Or, well, it's acrylic, kind of like a Tamiya deal. I think acrylic lacquer.
Solvent based.
Acrylic,
and I actually really prefer those because the problem with true acrylics is that you get a lot of tip dry sometimes.
Yeah, and water based ones. Yes.
Yeah, exactly. With the acrylic lacquer though, you've got that solvent flowing through the airbrush. It keeps the tip fairly clean, and it's really honestly a better experience. Downside is you
ventilate.
Be safe while you're using them, but you'll be very happy with the outcome.
For sure. And if you want to buy those paints and other stuff, because he's got some really cool cool goodies as well, USA Gundam Store.
USA Gundam Store, sponsors. Located in the state of orange juice, which we
That's right!
That is absolutely one of the
state of American orange juice.
Which Flo Rida calls Florida. What?
Florida?
I assume he's Florida.
Just calls it, that's my first name.
Florida.
Half of my first name.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Florida.
Let me tell you something about USA Gundam Store.
Let me tell you something about Florida, all right?
Is it Florian Rider?
They've got a nice big warehouse.
You've been there.
He has.
Full of everything you can imagine. They got a really cool storefront. They got sales on their website all the time.
Tell us
their prices and their pre-orders are like top notch.
Yeah.
Oh yes,
they've got everything you can imagine.
Oh man, they don't hesitate when it comes.
I get emails from them
for real
multiple times a day.
Yes, they do.
Not an annoying part.
No, not annoying.
But it's actually good. It's not like, hey, by the way, we sell Gundams. No shit.
So here's the deal.
It's like, check out all these cool things.
Yeah, everything's like, hey, this was just announced. Pre-order it now.
The discount
codes. He's ready.
Discount
codes. There's discount codes in the email. It's the only email chain that I willingly submit myself to because there are discount codes on the emails. It's awesome.
Yeah, and the thing is, like, you can use True Gunpla 10, Zacharilius 10, GB8. There's so many codes you can use, and it doesn't matter what watch Art 10.
Donnie.
Yeah, exactly. Go. Like, there's That's so many. And it's not because everyone's getting paid. It's because we have a great company that we need to fucking support. And hey, if you got a brand, that's the best way to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And of course, Holy Mountain Printing, kind of shameless plug, but I, you know, I do buy a lot of stuff on my paycheck. So
we
so
talked about Holy Mountain Printing a lot in this episode in particular.
It's the third shameless plug this episode, I think.
Yeah. Well, I think so. Yeah, technically, yeah. So you know what? That's all right, but
you know what, there's nothing wrong with that. I like keeping count of that.
And if you want to be a sponsor, there are thousands of people that listen to this podcast that like playing with plastic models or painting little orc men or doing everything in between that involves right. the hobby whatsoever. So hit us up on our Patreon, patreon.com/thecuttingmat. Podcast or
yep,
the Cutting
that's
Mat,
the one
or go to Cutting Mat Podcast, thecuttingmatpodcast.com. You yep. can find all kinds of fun stuff there,
and you can also find a link to our Patreon on thecuttingmatpodcast.com. If you are not a company,
the
you should
cuttingmatpodcast.com,
thecuttingmatpodcast.com,
everyone's
thecuttingmatpodcast.com,
thecuttingmatpodcast.com,
thecuttingmatpodcast.com.
TheCuttingMatPodcast.com.
We have a website, and there's information on there.
Guys, if you
are
not...
Where is it?
What? Wait, hold on. What song...
Google?
What song is that for the supply drop?
Have you ever...
Team,
the 07th...
Yeah, okay.
Mobile Division Group.
Kohei Tanaka, by
the
way. The
7th is a bunch of dicks. Don't hang out with the 7th.
Same music producer...
What
with the music composer? What's the title called?
Composer,
whatever. Music composer for G Gundam.
Okay.
I can kind of hear it. Yeah, I like it. Yeah.
Wait, no, there was still something I wanted to say about the Patreon. If you're not a company, you should join our Patreon.
If you are not a company.
Yeah, if you're not a company.
If you're not,
if you are a company, you should go to our Patreon.
We've already left the zone, dude. We're
oh, no, wait. Go back in the zone. Wait, hit the button.
No.
No.
It's too long, dog. No, you can't figure out. It's like Legends of the Hidden Temple over here.
There's numbers and buttons and things that are blinking.
You put the monkey's head on his arm
one of the
and
buttons,
his ass in his
there's
head.
There's like a skull with crossbones on one of the buttons, and I'm afraid that if I hit that one, something terrible is going to happen.
That's the orange juice button.
Tino, does that
orange
button...
Orange juice comes out and sprays in the face.
That button has Tino's face
not the
on
face.
It. What is happening?
Right in the mouth.
Yeah, we changed
Wrong
the name of
hole.
The money shot to the supply drop.
I think it was a little more...
I think it's much better, yeah.
On... brand.
Agreed.
Yes.
Oh, there we go again.
Oh yeah. Speaking of branding, so that's basically the thing about whenever you make a hobby.
What are you saying,
into
branding?
A, have you ever heard of the overjustification effect, Bailey?
The what now?
The overjustification.
Did you call me?
Okay. I called you an overjustification effect.
He's in tight.
You're not wrong.
See, there you go. Yeah. So there's a story about a guy who had a store and he wanted to get a bunch of kids who were playing soccer in the street in front of his store to leave. Basically,
okay.
He went out front and told the kids to leave, and they said, "Fuck you, old man," because they were dicks. And so he decided, "Wait, hang on, I'm gonna have to approach this from a different angle." And so he goes out and he says, "Hey, you guys playing soccer in the street out in front of our store is actually bringing me a lot of business. So I'll give you a quarter every day if you come out in front of my store and play soccer."
Mm-hmm.
And so he paid him a quarter a day for 3 days. And on the fourth day, he said, "Sorry, guys, I can't pay you today." And they never came back.
Did they never go back, or did they never play soccer again?
No, they all died. It was terrible. It was a horrible accident. That's the power of the overjustification effect. If you all of a sudden turn something into something larger, you start to expect returns from that thing.
That's true.
Risk is, if you are a scale modeler and you start to turn your scale model into a brand, you start to, your dopamine release stops coming from the scale modeling itself. It potentially could shift over to your brand or your Instagram account or your marketing or like how well your numbers are doing, and you lose track of what you used to love.
Yeah, dude, and that shit sucks.
Yeah,
we've all gone through it, whether it's this or other shit. Have you?
Have you ever?
Am I the only one?
Have you ever had a Tino? Have you ever had a feeling?
Do you understand?
I am a robot.
I am a robot.
I have something similar.
All right. What you got, Bailey?
You build for contests and whatnot. Mm-hmm. I just really enjoy building enjoying the hobby for myself. I enjoy building for myself more often than not. When you're building for contests, it's great, you know.
Yeah.
Not necessarily most competitive person, but sometimes you can get a sense that you're kind of losing touch with the reason that you're building, you know.
Right. Yeah.
When you get so honed in on wanting to win a contest, and
right.
That can happen for a lot of people.
It really can.
Especially, you know, when they go to the actual contest and then you see a bunch of other good stuff. And, you know, if there's judging and whatnot, you don't win. That can really, really put some people down in terms of their outlook on the hobby. And then I haven't really had that issue. But like I said, in terms of just the motivation for building, it's very much like I'm intrinsically motivated. I'm actively looking to improve my skills, you know, get better at the techniques that I'm applying, try new things and things like that. Just for the sake of it, just to learn those new things, not necessarily to, you know, dominate in a contest or anything like that. You know, the recognition is certainly nice, but you know, if you want to bring in some psychologistics or anything like that, the strongest motivator is something that is internal. If you're externally motivated, money, fame, glory, all that stuff, that kind of stuff fades and doesn't really hold you very long. But being internally motivated, just seeking, you know, new information, new understanding, things like that, that's the strongest form.
You learn a lot more.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
And the thing
too,
external motivations, people can see your external motivation.
So not only that, but also the motivation can just go away.
Yeah, dude.
It can just all of a sudden be gone. Yeah.
Because it's something that, like, to kind of go back to passing you talked about, I think on the side episode, was that you're being open about something that you're taking an internal monologue goal or whatever it is and making it public. So now you feel you have to live up to that thing. You have to do the thing you did constantly.
Yep.
And if you fail at it, you're like, oh, well, I'm done with this forever, because now everyone's going to be like, oh, that guy failed at it.
Well, like, so doing it badly has its place. A contest is not the place to do it badly.
Yeah, no, exactly.
But, you know, doing something for yourself is the time to do it badly. Like, that's the whole point behind that. You do something because you're intrinsically motivated to make something that looks cool. Like, I like making cool-looking robots.
Yeah.
That's what's fun for me. Sometimes I'll do a contest, but I haven't done one in a long time.
But the moment you try to turn that into, like, oh, I want to make robots to win things and be known as the guy that makes cool robots, the people that get known of the thing they do is because it's goals that they set to themselves internally.
Mm-hmm.
Because when they fail, they're not going to shout it from the rooftop, but they can also self-reflect and say, hey, let's try it again, let's do something different. Because you're talking to yourself, you're saying, okay, that's fine, not a big deal. There's people that pay money to talk to someone else about that internal monologue they're not having with themselves. So you apply that to, you're out there saying, oh, I'm going to be the best toy photographer there is, and then you're mediocre at it, and then you're just kind of like, ah, fuck, I don't want to do this.
What's demotivation?
I didn't get the sponsor shout-out.
Saitama's goal or something like that.
It was like to be a photographer or something.
No. What?
What? Who?
One Punch Man.
Oh, never mind.
I don't know. What
he just like do the same punching like nonstop. Wasn't that like a personal thing for him?
Yeah.
He wanted to be the best puncher in the world.
Mm-hmm. He wanted to be the one single punch man.
The one punch.
Something like that.
Man.
The one hero to rule them all.
Yeah.
The one hero to find them.
He was like, what, like a level one hero when he started out or some bullshit?
No,
he wasn't even listed.
He wasn't even
listed.
He was
a civilian.
Or whatever it was.
He didn't even know about the listing.
Yeah.
Spoiler, sorry.
He was like a civilian, and then he went and trained himself and somehow tapped into this power, and we still don't know how it happened.
Hold up. What are you
orange
guys talking
juice
about?
Like
I never
and
seen
then,
this.
And then,
it's orange juice.
No, and then some dude finds him and is like, I want to be your student.
Oh, Genos.
Yeah, and then they sign up for
the
hero licensing.
Registry, yeah.
Yeah, and
I'm going to stop you there.
Okay.
What?
Because
spoilers. I'm going to stop you all. You're actually on topic a little bit because of to go back into taking your internal motivations and trying to make them your external goals in a way that like it's not very healthy to do so is he was approached because of his internal goals of
became noticed
of something he was working on internally.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't shouting, I'm going to be the greatest punch man of them all. Come learn from me, y'all. It's because people kept asking him, Hey, they're trying to find him, trying to learn from him. And I think that applies to like people do like workshops and stuff. Like Child Mecha, for example, I'm sure his inbox was flooded of like, I want to learn this. I want to learn this in person. Where are you doing it? Where are you doing it? Yeah, Bailey, no, you're admin on the...
I haven't been either, but I know I know that's the case, and I've also been seeing it just for, with other people on Facebook and stuff like that, too.
Those are the people that do the workshops and people really, truly enjoy because it's not something that they tried forcing and possibly either ruining the hobby or just ruining that image or whatever you want to call it.
I can tell you what, though, for like Tim and you can just name a list of people, you know, that are, you know, similarly talented or whatever. You can be sure, and especially for somebody like Tim that's been doing it for so long, that it is not something that is in terms of, or at least, you know, it didn't start, like you said, with getting that recognition. Yeah. It was very much so, like, just betterment of themselves, like betterment of their skills, abilities, etc., that extended, and like we brought it to One Punch Man. It got noticed.
Yeah, you know, it's something where it wasn't forced. It was natural. And to go even further back to what you were saying, the little discussion we had about Instagram and stuff, is that when you sit there and try to work really hard on something you're going to post online with, like editing or trying to get a cool shot or a cool angle or cool lighting, sometimes just the thing you just post on instinct or the thing you share with people or the work you put out there, that, yeah, it's right in the moment. It's an eternal goal. That is your best work in the public view.
Yep. Just make sure there's good lighting.
Make sure that you can't be total trash.
I mean, here's
the
deal. There's a threshold for lighting. Once you're above that threshold, it's fine.
Yeah.
Just get good light, you know, get like okay
but
lighting.
The thing is,
Do
lighting badly. But it's something where like that is what people want to see, and that's what people connect to because they're having that same internal discussion or monologue. Some people don't. That's a weird thing going on right now with there's people.
I read that article. Yeah.
But it's not what we're talking about. But it is in a way to where it's a forced internal goal or settings or whatever. Those people can relate to it.
So, like, when you watch sports movies, and I'm a big fan of inspirational sports movies, mostly because of the dogs. But when the athletes are out there like training for whatever they're doing, they're like out there every day, like they're every doing day. The thing every day. This is, you know, it becomes a part of their life. And if you are extrinsically motivated instead of intrinsically motivated, that's not something that you're going to stick to.
Yeah,
you can't get to that level without loving the thing. Well, I mean, Air Bud 6 is going to be fantastic because that's the one where it's a Build Fighters crossover. So, the puppies learn how to use Pulaski particles. It's very complicated.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Yeah, but it is always about the dogs.
It's 1-1 scale, by the way. I just want to get that out there.
Oh, course, Build Fighters kits are 1-1 scale.
1-1 scale.
They are 1-1 scale.
And the master grades are actually...
1/144th would be like an ant size or something. Right?
It would be real small. Yeah, yeah. It'd
be tiny.
It would be the little figurines, technically. Wouldn't
no,
it?
It'd be lower than that.
It'd be like
a 1/32nd.
Well, if it's...
It'd be like a Mighty Max figure.
In that universe.
Well, you're a Mighty Max
figure. It would be...
Be like the size of your fingernail or something. God. Or smaller.
Oh, man.
It would be small.
Super minuscule. I would like to say, there's been a lot of talk online recently about how when you start to try and brand yourself and you set expectations and you start seeing people notice you and they have more expectations that you have to try and meet, there's been a lot of talk about that and how you don't have to do something all the time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You just need to find a way to pace yourself. And this is all about the burnout as well as
creating a routine,
Episode and
six,
everything.
Season one.
Right.
There you go.
you don't have to push yourself and you don't have to play catch up.
Mm-hmm.
You have to move at your own pace. And I mean, if your pace is fast, that's fine. But for someone like me who is branding himself and doing all that stuff, I can't move that fast.
You don't have complete crossover there with your brand and your Gunpla.
Yeah.
Also. So like for this hobby in particular, not your top priority.
Yeah.
Yeah,
also four hundredths of an inch is how tall a 1/144th scale built
in that universe.
Okay. I'm glad you clarified.
So 400ths of an inch. That's real small.
Yeah. That's like, like here.
It's 400ths of an inch.
So let's bring it back around because, Tina, you brought up a good point. And it's like, and same for you, True Gunpla.
Oh, fuck that's off, who you are.
What? No, because that's what it is. No, yeah. Let's not completely draw a broad brush across this idea of branding and, you know, creating an identity.
Yeah.
You know, because there is a time and place for it, and there's a situation. Like, Tino, as an artist, that is something that you have to do as far as your career,
mm-hmm.
you know, and Joel, you quit a job and started doing this as your yep. job.
Yeah. That's
so a big deal. There is a domain for this to happen.
Yeah.
You know, so if you could talk about what that looks like and what that has been for you at this time, you know, that'd be great.
Damn, dog. I feel like I'm in therapy again for this one, bud.
Oh, sorry, I've been in.
No, this is like that. I was gonna get to that point. Is that like it is something? Everything we've talked about, I brought up, is all from personal experience. Mm-hmm. I have tried to do something that I externally is like, you know what, I want to be known for this, you know, photography guy or mm-hmm. whatever. And then it was the transition of not getting burnt down, realizing, okay, I still need to do this for work. I mm-hmm. still need to do this for my stuff, for scale modelers, for toys, product, whatever. So I can't go the full nine. I do it casually because again, like I was saying before, the pictures that I kind of just like, you know, 3 o'clock in the morning, like, oh fuck, this would look cool. Did it yeah. up really fast, really badly. Took those a picture of hits. It. Those were the hits. Those are the ones I did the best
of course.
On. Ones that I forced, mm-hmm. not so great. I mean, they're still externally to others, good to me, bummed out.
There's a threshold.
Yep.
Again, and that's what brought that failure thing. Mm-hmm. Externally, people loved it. To me, I fucking hated it. And I wanted to throw it away, and I didn't.
Well,
I learned from that.
The thing you do in the moment is fully motivated by your feelings about
internal
the thing.
Feelings.
Yeah. It's your feelings. Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
That's the thing.
But again,
and it could be very fleeting too. Just like
right,
a momentary
that's
thing.
Exactly
if you don't
right.
capture it as best you can in that moment, it's
yeah.
gone.
You should seize the carp. Carpe the carp.
Carp the magic carp. Bro.
Carp
you need
magic
a lot
carp.
Of eggs for them.
Gyarados at DM.
Shit.
What? Carpe yeah. Noctum.
Pokemon Go.
You treat mm-hmm. Magikarp with respect.
He's my buddy. I walk with him. Well, he kind of flops, but you know. But
that's how you get candy. It's you gotta do that.
All these things and having like the podcast to talk about that stuff has taken a lot of those external failures of doing video reviews, doing like I started my brand, quote unquote, Airfingers here on YouTube, and it the thing I just threw together last minute has 50,000 views. The things I probably put way too much time in have like 2,000 views. I can tell the difference there now after like 2 or 3 years of seeing that shit. That's been a long external drawback because like I was like, oh, I can do this. I can be known as a YouTube man. And then I didn't like doing that stuff. I like doing the stuff that I did. Like by the time this comes out, there's a vlog that's out. That's actually what I liked doing. It was fun. It was just nonchalant. All of us doing random shit for those two days on the weekend. It was fun. If that video does 500 or 500,000 views, I don't fucking care because I like it. Mm-hmm. And that's what it's there for.
I totally get that.
But there's a lot
intrinsic of intrinsic motivation I was talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of that stuff to where I've tried to push it or done it or have done it successfully and recognize that to say, okay, this didn't work and here's why.
Yep.
It's people that I talk to, you know, on a daily basis about stupid shit that was happening a year ago with online stupid drama, all this other whatever the fuck was happening. Yeah. Contest planning events. Even here, I had to delegate a lot of the work out to you guys. And that's something that took being burnt out almost to a point to say, okay, I'm going to take it back. I need help with X, Y, and Z.
Yeah, but like, here's the thing, though. By delegating out the things that you don't necessarily like doing and thus probably wouldn't spend as much time on as somebody who did like doing it, now you're getting a higher quality product.
Exactly. Distribution labor.
Yep.
Distribution labor.
You're getting a much higher quality product. In fact, in some cases, like
we are stationary now.
If you've got a community, you bring in 12 people that come to a Gunpla meet on the weekends, and you organize, like, you know, maybe you brainstorm ideas for a contest right there instead of coming up with one on your own. You'll end up with a contest.
A good one,
that
man.
Is really, like, you'll come up with, people come up with stuff that you would never think of before.
Yeah, mm-hmm. dude, that's how. Yeah. So, final thing of Bailey's question is the organizer thing that I kind of bragged on you because you're like, hey, you're the community organizer. I'd never see myself that because it's internally something that I want to do and I don't want to be.
Right.
Like, I've said, yeah, community leader, organizer, whatever, blah, 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 online, but it's when it got to that point of people saying, hey, how do I do an event? Hey, how do I do this? Hey, how did you do this? I said, you know what? I know the answers and I'm willing to help.
Yep.
There's a little title badge on there. if you need help or questions.
And but see, you get the recognition for doing that because everyone can tell that you're motivated to do it.
Yeah, because it's fucking fun, dude. Right. Like, I was in a band. I'm used to booking shows and, like,
there you go,
picking bands that do well with our band and, like, venues and blah, blah, blah. It's the same thing with Gundam. You got to find a good... There's a whole... Bailey, what episode is it, dog? The whole one about community organizer. I don't remember, but you had your phone out earlier.
That was...
Insert it here.
Yeah.
I think it was, there. Like, two. Episode two, I
two
think.
Or something. Like, really, or no, it was a yeah. two-parter. It was a Star Trek.
It's a joke. This is not going to be edited.
Five or six. It's, you'll find it.
Yeah,
it's really easy.
Three or five
yeah,
or six.
Yeah,
but, like, that shit is cool as fuck. Like, it was fun. It's fun right. doing it. And
building community?
Building community, yeah.
Episode three.
There you go.
Oh, that's history. Right.
Well done, Tino. Okay, two, Tino wins the prize.
Episode four, build a blueprints to start your community.
Episodes three and four. It was a two-parter. At the end of the first episode, Captain Picard is on the Romulan ship, but he's dressed like a Romulan.
We don't have time for this, dog. It's already an hour in.
No, okay, so.
Give him some orange juice.
But, yeah, doing that stuff is a lot of fun. And then also seeing people that genuinely want to do it and they just didn't know how. There's a difference between being like, I want to do this, I'm going to ask someone privately how to do it, or even just say like, hey guys, I want to do this, do you have suggestions? And then someone seems like, damn, I could probably make money, or like, oh, I can do it better than the event, I could be known for that, or insert whatever weird external motivation you have. And like, those always make the best events when you let other people help and take credit for the thing you're doing. And you have a great fucking time and a great event, and like, people enjoy it. And it's not this weird thing where there's like so much logistical stuff involved to where like you're trying to do XYZ that the people attending see that. It's like seeing an open wound. You're just like, ugh.
Gross.
I don't want to go near that.
Why is this event dripping?
Yeah. Like, you don't want a weird, drippy, soupy, pussy.
No, he needs to suture that event up.
Yeah,
that
dude, you don't want
that. Yes.
But it's true, though, because that's the reaction you get from seeing it. You're like, fuck, I don't want to be a part of that.
Now
man.
That you bring that up,
you
yes.
cringe. Like, you physically cringe.
You see
an open
wound, you're like, hey, are you all right? You see this, you're just like, oh, God, did you see so
to our credit,
is everything okay?
Our our meats have always been just really nice and crispy.
Yeah,
nice
our
and
events are
crispy,
they smell great.
Nice and cauterized.
And the thing is, they actually physically do smell great.
Cauterize the wound.
Yeah, see, that's
hygiene is very important.
That,
we actually did cover that.
We've done that a couple times.
Yeah. We have.
Did that answer the question? I feel like I got a good sense of trying to, because this episode doesn't really have any rhyme or reason. We're not telling you to go out and do something. We're not telling you to not
well
go
we
out and do
we
something.
Are we're telling you to do what you want to do, basically. Yeah. don't get roped into these individual roles that you feel like you have to play. Just do the thing that is intrinsically motivating to you, and that's how you build your hobby.
Mm-hmm.
There's no right or wrong way to do it, unless you're doing something you don't want to do. That's wrong.
If someone wants you to do something you don't want to do, it don't feel obligated you have to do it.
Yep.
You know, whether it's a product you're trying to sell or a cool build you want to do, you have to enjoy the thing you're doing in your spare time for yourself. And 9 times out of 10, if you're listening to that, that is your hobby, because it is literally just a hobby.
That's the definition. It's a relaxing activity.
Is it supposed to be relaxing, though?
It's supposed to be relaxing.
It's supposed to be relaxing. It's supposed to be relaxing.
You know, you've been doing subscribing. That's not always relaxing, is it?
Actually, it's relaxing for me. I put on music. I've been listening to Mallsoft. Are you guys familiar with Mallsoft and Mallwave?
I didn't know
actually,
there was a word.
No, oh, you're talking
about like music.
You're talking.
You know what's interesting?
Hold on. You're talking about vaporwave, like blank Banshee.
Yeah,
I know vaporwave.
I'm talking about.
I know vaporwave. I know chillwave.
Vaporwave has a subgenre called Mallwave.
Mallwave. It's usually it was made
I
from
love
the visuals
it.
Of abandoned malls.
Yeah,
from
yeah.
The 90s.
I get that.
So they
now.
Take these
okay.
photos and they put them on basically on loop, sort of. But then they also play this. There, it is a.
It's remixed mall music from the shops.
Yeah,
that they play over
the
intercom.
Yeah, and right. it has some of them have like announcements. In them,
oh, really?
Like in
oh,
English,
there's
and,
like
cool.
deep
oh,
mall,
God,
like
disturbing.
Where it's literally some
See,
dude
some
sat
of them
there
in,
recorded a whole mom. Wait,
oh, there's some. Sometimes it has like ambient music, and there's
yeah.
Japanese
I
announcements
like
in there, and you're like,
oh, so there's recordings. Yeah,
oh,
they're,
it's
they're,
cool.
They're going to Japan.
You
got to
send me a link to that later.
It's really good.
I will.
I went down a whole.
You went. You were. We were in
the
same rabbit hole.
I was buying tapes.
Dude,
I have all kinds of shit.
Mallwave, man.
Mallwave.
No, Mallwave.
That's what I thought.
No, that's something
in my head.
Mallwave is
but
like
now
it's
I heard
like
the wave. I was like,
it's
oh,
underground shifting.
Regardless
they
of what you listen
into
to,
the,
yeah. you start,
burrow into
holy
the music.
Shit.
No, I'm a definitely like I'm a vaporwave, chill down tempo.
Sure. Dude,
there's some good person. YouTube stations for that.
If you want a good entry level band, listen to Blank Banshee. It's really good.
Yeah,
there's a bunch of other ones, but it's all in Japanese. And it's hard.
I'm a big Carpenter Brute fan. That guy does some 90s really
South
stuff.
Korea aesthetic.
Oh,
women's aesthetic. That's kind of what the vibe. Interesting. You get
I'm
off
on board with that.
Always.
All right, I can. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Kind of like punky 90s. Late 80s South Korean.
Yeah, it's vaporwave. Mallsoft. Yeah. You said Mallsoft. That's what you said.
Mallsoft. Well, so Mallsoft and Mallwave are a little bit.
But back to the overlap. Back to the question. Before we went down this fucking
So it's
rabble.
Also like
so
very
scribing.
80s.
Here's the thing about scribing. 80s, yeah. If you think scribing is stressful, don't scribe. It's stressful. That's no fun.
Stressful kind of no matter what.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. If you have once you have your system down, like once you establish a very good way to scribe, then it becomes very relaxing because you get to look at the outcome and it feels very good to see this complicated thing executed by you. Like, that's super fun. It takes a lot of doing it badly to get to that point, and that's where the stressful part comes in. Basically, once you get over the activation energy of learning the new technique, the technique can then be more and more fun for you.
That makes sense.
I can see that.
That's like hand painting.
Yeah, well, yeah, that hand painting is a great example because once you learn to thin your paints, things change. We'll talk about that in Premonition of Paint.
You do one stroke and you're like, fuck, that looks like ass, but it's the patience of building layers and layers and layers and layers and learning different things and having that internal monologue, internal goal. God, helps no one listening.
Just keep swimming.
Doesn't have an internal monologue. Like,
oh, actually, the thing that makes me paint well is that my internal monologue says, that looks like shit.
Yeah, exactly.
And I say, thanks, internal monologue, I'm going to fix it.
But sometimes people rather have external monologue and...
Yeah, and then Tino can tell me it looks like shit. That's what usually happens. Tino's like, oh, wow.
That's honest external monologue from an internal monologue decision.
That looks... Great job, buddy.
Those are lines that you've put into styrene.
You did...
You did it badly.
And that's real time.
That's what I sound like.
Yeah, that's right.
That's what I sound like.
This has been a kind of a weird episode.
Yeah,
I like it.
I feel like we covered our initial need or not need subject. There we go. We covered our initial subject and then kind of covered a little more.
I think get a little bit more than what
we're right on par with the cutting mat.
Yeah,
because
it's always been our internal and external monologue.
Correct.
This is all actually happening in our heads.
I mean, we all cried.
These
I think
mind microphones.
I cried twice. And real deep. This is deep. This is deep cut.
Well,
deep track.
Tino,
sign out.
Sign us out, dog.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. Hey, everybody. Thank you for listening to the Cutting Mat Podcast. Once again, I am Tino, also known as Big V Roman, all over the internet. To my left is. He won't be interrupted. I promise.
Barely. At @Kamau_Zeta on Instagram. To my left is the very uninterruptive.
I don't do that. I'm a new man. I'm Brandon.
Moo. I said moo.
You sound like my internal monologue.
Is it your internal monologue mooing at you?
Yeah, it moos at me sometimes.
Oh, this scribe looks great.
Moo!
Oh, no.
And I'm like, thanks, buddy. I know
he's got the cow
logo
in his brain.
Yeah, I know.
No, we're orange juice sponsored, not milk sponsored.
That's
right?
Donkey brain.
That's not
a cow brain.
Anyway, Brandon. Yeah,
I do mecha genre, so I got an Instagram called Mecha Genre. I got a website called mechagenre.com, and I build Gundam models.
Well,
and I'm Brandon, and I'm mecha genre also.
Mecha Brandon.
Mecha genre. Brandon.
Genre John
Brandon.
John
Brandon.
John Genre Brandon.
Jean Brandon.
Luc Picard.
No. No.
Mecha Jean-Luc Picard.
Is it my turn?
Who are you?
And then the guy over here on the left, on my left, and also on Tino's right, and across the table from Bailey.
Tony Hawk.
Happy birthday, Tony Hawk.
Happy birthday, Tony Hawk.
Seriously, though, Tony Hawk, we haven't heard from you at all. Like we've really...
Well,
we're just concerned.
A little disheartening.
That's not true.
What?
Huh?
What?
Yep. Anyways, I'm Joel Goline as True Gumpa, or find me on Holy Mountain Printing, or any other thing that I do internally and that I love also sharing with you externally. Tino, let him know what's up, bud.
That was real intrinsic.
What?
He did.
Tino, the intro's going to be pressed any moment.
The outro's happening.
See you, thanks for listening. We'll see you later. Bye.
We can see the outro.
I had a question. I just don't remember what it was at this point.
Tino.
Thanks for joining us after the credits.
This is the after credit scene.
Okay.
You seem complexed by this that I've heard from Tony Hawk, kind of.
Yeah, I was perplexed.
We're gonna have and to so wait am to, I. Just till next episode, bud, okay? Head holes. So that.